come here. Get off.
Hey y'all. Today we are talking to Jacqueline R., pronouns she and her. Jacqueline became the sole caregiver for her mother, Lynn, and grandmother, Joyce, in 2016 after a faulty furnace leaked carbon monoxide into her family home, causing both to develop Alzheimer's disease. Wow. She began documenting her journey on YouTube and TikTok under the handle Mom of My Mom. She's since been praised by Tipa Snow for her devotion to implementing fun and creating joy around the task of caregiving. Her TikTok has gone viral many times, amassing over 580,000 followers and receiving over 80 million views. With this platform, she hopes to bring to light the challenges that caregivers face. And as a TV writer, she hopes to bring these relatable stories to screens around the world. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
So, Jacqueline, I am so happy and proud to be one in the 580,000. And I probably added like two of that 80 million views. Because I just adore what you're doing. So first, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Man, okay, so prior to starting, I just like to like start out by saying that I stutter, and so just so that like people who hear this know that their phone is okay, or you know, someone is okay. But me, when I was a child, what did I want to do when I? Grew up. I wanted to be recognized, but I think that came from this needing to like feel known and like wanting to feel important. And I think because I was an only child, I just like veered towards TV. Partly because as a child who stuttered, no one like wants to hear you. And so wanting to be heard was what made me want to work in TV. I wanted to perform, which I don't want to perform at all anymore. But that I honestly think stemmed from like feeling like no one heard me, or like it took me too long to talk, or I think that was just me projecting. But I wanted to be Raven Simone.
Raven Simone was that girl when we was little.
So, yeah, I was like, and like she sang also. She had a rap tape, and I had
I remember
all the time.
I don't think I knew she had a rap tape. I knew she sang. Because by the time she hit Cheating Girls, I was like aged out.
That's when little girls are made.
I don't know nothing about that.
I totally remember that.
I was like people like listen to her, and like she's, you know, everyone's sweetheart, and so I was just, that's what I want to be.
Aww.
you like unlocked a memory back there with that rap tape.
You probably got a bunch of people Googling right now.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you get from little Jacqueline, star of stage and screen as a youngin, to where you are now?
So my mom fostered it a lot. She knew, she was like, all right, you want to be in TV? Like, that's a lot. So she would actually like take me out of school sometimes, and then we would go see live tapings.
Oh, wow.
And so we would see like that, and we saw Moesha. We saw the Parkers, you know, so on. And yeah, so what I
like that whole Black TV Renaissance.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm taking off work.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to school today.
I love that.
So like, and so like that kind of showed me that like there's jobs everywhere. Like, you don't mm-hmm. have to star. You can mm-hmm. write, you can be behind the camera. And so that's when my mind started to change a bit. And then I started writing. And so that's sort of like how it all happened. For college, I moved across the country, and that's where I was like, I'm staying here. I loved on the East Coast. I was like, the East Coast is me. Like, it was just everything. And I ended up getting a call in 2016 while I was on the subway saying that you need to fly home. There is something wrong. And I flew home, and the mortgage hadn't been paid for months, and there was rotting food, and it, I just came home to a complete mess. And I was just kind of like, okay, I can't in good conscience not stay home. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty much how it happened. But living on the East, like, it just gave me that time to figure out who I am and not have my like mom just like, what are you doing? What's happening all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I really do appreciate that time, because it let me really grow into who I am. And I think I'm able to make the content because I come from this sense of like knowing who I am, but not needing it to like be about me, which is its mm-hmm. own journey with taking care of some one also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually touched on that in the last episode, because both Kimra and I are not from mm-hmm. the DC area, mm-hmm. which is where we live now. And it was so important to get away from your family, because I think Kimria said in so many words, she was trying to, she knew that she had to leave her hometown in order to become Absolutely. The person she wanted to. And I guess I did too. I just knew that I needed to, my family was getting on my nerves. And in less beautiful words, I knew I had to like get, you know, I knew I had to get away from them in order to figure out who I was and what I wanted to be. So, we totally get that. So we asked you on the show because the story that we read last week, You Make Me Feel, centers on someone who had to return home to take care of their family. So can you tell us a little bit more about like getting there, being back home, adjusting, and, recognizing your new role, and what does that look like?
I don't even
now?
Think I recognized my new role. I think I fought it, actually. Mm. I probably fought it for about a year and a half. But I came home The house was like messy, and that's not my mom. Like, she's make up her bed every day, make sure the house is tidy type. And to come home to see it, it was just really daunting. And then to get home to my grandmother and for her to not like recognize me, but then to be somewhat violent also, like, get out of my house. I don't know, you know, it the knowledge that I'd lost my grandmother without knowing that I lost her sort of hit. And I think the mourning of that was very instant, but it also couldn't continue because I had to then start making sure that they were fed, that they had people to come in. If I couldn't hire anyone, then I was, you know, the one taking care of baths and medicines and doctor's appointments. And there were like weekly doctor's appointments. And so it just literally became my new job, and it gives you no time to like mourn. There is no time like to adjust. Like when someone's going to have a child, like for 9 months, you're sort of like, okay, I'm about to have this baby, and you sort of like set it up mentally. And there was no time for that. And so I don't know what happened, in all honesty. It was a blur. It's still somewhat a blur, because I felt like I was swimming, just like trying to stay afloat.
Yeah. Wow. So, in the book that Erica just mentioned, one of the characters, she was saying he had to go home because there was some family stuff going on. And one of the things that he really struggled with was reconciling the parent that he knew as a child with the parent that he was interacting with today. Mm-hmm. Does that ring true with your experience at all as an adult, like returning home?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like naturally the relationships with your parents change. And it's actually more of like a joyous, like we can drink now, you know, like we can, you know, talk about like life now. And because my mom wasn't like that far, it became a battle of like, how much do I take care of my mom? How much do I let her still, you know, do her own thing? And I'm sorry. And so, like now even, it's, the lines are a bit more clear. Like I have taken on the role of like mom, but I still struggle with like wanting my mom also. So I don't think that it's clear cut. I think that it changes all the time, and that you're still like longing, and you still like want someone to call and be like, there's this boy I'm talking to, but I don't know if we should, or, you know, da 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 da. But like, you know, you don't have that anymore. And so I'm still trying to actually figure it out and come to terms. But for the most part, I am the mom to my mom.
I think that's interesting because, you know, I think when people think of adults who are caregiving with their parents, so often the focus is on like the work of it all. But I don't think that we necessarily think about the fact that there is that mourning and that loss of that person and that the dynamic in that relationship that you had. My grandmother had dementia for the last few years of her life, and you're taking me back to like the first time I went to visit her and she thought I was somebody else. And I like was like, no, it's me, this is my kid. And she cussed me out and told me that I was wrong. My grandmother was a cuss you out person anyway. But like eventually either she remembered who I was or she just told me she did, you know. But like just remembering that day, like I had flown home to see her and she, because I had been calling and it was hard on the phone because she was also hard of hearing. And so you had dementia on top of difficulty hearing and her normal cantankerous nature. And it never worked. And I'm just like remembering like that was the moment I was like, oh, like this relationship has changed. And you're living in that every day. And I know that that's tough.
Yeah, it gets harder other times, and it's harder some days more so than others. I do think that mom of my mom is a way for me to cope also. Mm-hmm. Me, you know, figuring mm-hmm. out hacks or tips and tricks that help me to then help other people is a way to also like detract from the sadness of like, wow, my mom's at this stage now. It's very abstract because moments come when I am really sad. Like there's at least 1 week per month where I'm just kind of like, is this really happening? Mm-hmm. But because I have also been like raised up in the work hard and like hide your feelings in the amount of hours it's all mm-hmm. connected, which is also why I think my mom is doing well, because I do tend to like hide my sorrow in my, you know, art or, you know, but it's a mm-hmm. way to cope. There's no right or wrong way to cope, especially when something like this. And so I just think whatever gets you through the day, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why do you find it important to share your experiences via social media?
Social media has been a large part of my life for forever. So I think partly because I was a person who stuttered, and like clearly I still stutter. But my stutter was like very severe. When MySpace came out, I was like, this is a way I can interact with people and I don't have to like always talk all the time and like, you know, and I like really, really hooked on to social media as a way to like get out who I felt that I always was. And so it's mm-hmm. always like had like a very special place for me. However, while caregiving around year two, I was at my like wit's end. I was having like migraines all the time. My hair was like falling out. My cycle was like fluctuating from stress. And one day I like got in my car and I drove to a mental health hospital, and I just like sat in the car and I like cried, and I was like, if I check myself in, like, who's here? Mm-hmm. And I just like sat in the car and I just cried and I cried and I cried and I cried, and then I stopped and I was like, take your ass back home. And so I went back home, and like not too soon after, excuse me, soon after that, two of my friends gifted 6 months of their repeat to me. And once I did that, and like having their therapist like really share with me that you deserve to have help. You shouldn't be doing this by yourself. Like she reinstilled that like you're worth living. You should have your own life. And just knowing that I got to that point, that like low of just thinking that my entire life is now dedicated to caring for someone who's sick and not the enjoyment of just like living. Mm-hmm. I knew that there had to be other people who had like been to that depth. And I just wanted to like create some sort of space where I can be like, hey, this isn't who you are. This is a part of your journey. It's not the totality of who you are. And if you need someone to talk to, here I am. Hmm. And that's kind of how it like started.
Wow. So really came down to creating a community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I'm wondering, what you were saying earlier, and we read it in your bio, that you've been like working to bring joy into this space. What does that look like for you?
You know, honestly, it looks like whatever I'm interested in. My mom wants to do whatever I want to do, which makes it easy. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, joy for me looks like me not constantly thinking, is everything okay? What do I need to fix? What do I need to do this? Which is why like I try to find hacks so that I'm not thinking about, is the water in the bathroom running all night? Mm-hmm. So I'm not like waking up at 2 a.m. just like, checking it.
Yeah.
And so like joy for me is also like, I hope she's not using the paper towels all night and just like, you know, which is putting them in a place where I don't have to then worry. So the more that I can free up mental space, the more that I can even create joy. And so joy for me is dancing with my mom. Joy for me is going out on a date. Yeah. Joy for me is hiring someone and then being like, you take that over right now. And I'm about to go do whatever. And so there's so many ways to create joy within it. And I create joy for my mom, but in the same vein, I'm creating joy for myself because I deserve it.
Yes. Right. Yes, yes. What is your favorite thing about this chapter of your life?
Oh, man. You know, when something like this experience, I feel, has taken me to like the darkest place that I could ever imagine. But climbing out of that and then being on top of it, it really does make you feel like, who gonna check me, boo? Like, who gonna?
Yeah, I did this shit.
I did, you know? And so I love the confidence that has come from it. I love knowing that, like, whatever task someone puts in front of me, I've done things 10 times harder. Like, and so it's the personal development that I enjoy. It's changed me as a person overall. I'm not the same person. It's made me more compassionate, more empathetic. It's made me slow down because I was just always island in New York City. We go here.
I was about to say, you're so New York.
I'm in New York. Like, I was like, I'm in New York. I'm staying in New York for forever. You know? But it's really forced me to just kind of like slow down and be more intentional. And when you take more time, it's easier to be more intentional and to just kind of like make sure that exactly what you're saying is exactly what you mean. And so, you know, though I get caught up with like messaging and trying to answer everybody, and it just becomes a bit much. Like, had this happened prior to the situation, then I wouldn't know what to do, you know? And so,
So you mentioned earlier that one of the things that brings you joy is going on dates. I'd love if we could talk about what does maintaining or creating those type of relationships look like while being a caregiver?
It's been a lot of different things. I've been learning as I go, actually, and I've come to the conclusion that I have to choose to take the time to go out on dates. However, I only feel good about making that time for someone if I've like vetted them in a reasonable enough way to be like, all right, I don't mind making time to spend time with you. Like looking cute and, you know, so on. But a part of me also likes the getting cute part because that's not in my, you know, job title. And so I enjoy that. But then I'm also like learning to not tell guys about mom of my mom at all. I like I don't share socials at all because I think it becomes an unfair advantage of you learning so much about me. And the truth is like most men really don't get what it means to take care of someone who has dementia until they like see it for themselves. So I don't really spend tons of time trying to explain it either. I think it'll come when it comes if the person is in my life at an amount of time where I share it. Then fantastic. However, like for the most part, they find out when they find out. And if I want to make time, then I will make time. And if I, and
Yeah, I totally get you on the, it's an unfair advantage. When you talk about sex every week consistently, and anyone can Google it, I find myself on dates and like, oh, so you like consent? You like being tied up? And you're like,
nah, damn. This wasn't for you. This wasn't for you.
Yeah, mind this was not for you. Mind your MF in business. What do you wish people knew? What do you wish more people knew about caring for a parent?
That it's, yeah,
you got a list.
It's a mixture of the way that you were cared for as a child. So if there's trauma, if there's any kind of stuff, like, I honestly think that the way that we care for our parents mimics the way that our parents care for us. If our parents didn't do a great job, then, and we choose to then take on the task of caring for our parents, then we're going to need therapy. We're going to need to let go of some trauma. We're going to need to work through whatever it is that we went through as a child with our parent. No fault of their own, sometimes fault of their own. But I think having the understanding that our parents are human too, they went through their own stuff, and and being able to forgive that and then move forward is one of the like biggest things that I think people should know prior to taking on this task. But that takes self-aware, like a lot of it too. And so, you know, you can't ask that of everybody, but that's what I would say is like the biggest thing. It's also very time consuming, very, and it's not for everybody. And I don't judge people who choose not to.
I mean, that's interesting. It makes me kind of think of I was just talking to somebody about this, about the cultural piece of that and how different cultures in this country tend to take care of our elders in different ways. And I think there's absolutely an expectation in Black families that this is what you do.
Like the expectation of it too.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay. We don't put our people in homes. We take care of our folks. Without always a consideration of the fact that, I don't know, I think, I guess there's levels in terms of the amount of care people need and the,
your capacity.
No, absolutely. I don't think that this is a job that should be dumped on anyone. I think that we as a society need to plan better for our senior care. We need to plan, save up. We need to talk about end of life care sooner so that things like this just don't get wrong. And on top of that, I think it should be an understanding that it's no one's obligation to care for you. Just because you chose to have a child does not mean that that child is then obligated to now take care of you. I think it's a beautiful return, and it's a lovely way to, you know, appreciate that parent. But please believe that if my mom didn't care for me the way that she did, I wouldn't feel the desire to return it.
That's real.
Yeah.
Hindsight, you know, being 2020, is there anything that you would do differently in this journey?
Yeah. I would have done therapy much sooner. I would have asked for help. But not just ask for help, because I can ask for help. What I talk about with some people in the community is that sometimes you have to guilt people into, like, because people don't get the amount of work that goes into caring for someone who has it until they actually do it. And so me talking about my mom sneaking out at night, or, you know, it doesn't affect you as much as you laying in bed at 2 a.m. and hearing the front door swing open. And I think that people need to live it in order to feel the amount of fire under their feet to then help. And I wish I would have put that fire under my family's feet much quicker. Because it takes a village.
Definitely. How can we better support people that are doing this work?
Good question. Share Mom with My Mom. I super just appreciate that. More so though, because I know that people are looking for a community that understands them. And most of the time, like, caregivers suffer from loneliness and isolation. However, on top of that, call, send a house cleaner. Just like say, hey, there's someone I hired. They're going to come at 10 a.m. They're going to da-da-da-da-da. Great. Send food. Send a check. Pick up the phone. There's so many ways where you don't actually have to be there that are so helpful. Like, when, oh my God, if someone just was like, I hired someone to come clean your house for an hour, that would have been the bee's knees. But different things like that have been so helpful to me, and I know would be very helpful to other caregivers also. All
right. What's your superpower?
Resilience.
Yes.
Yeah. I keep going. I'm just like, part of me feels like there's no way that I was meant to experience this level of pain to just be like, all right, that's it. You know, like there has to be something else. There has to be something to come out of it. There has to be something to share, to help, to make sure that someone else who is like, I can't get out of this, then I'd be like, you can, I promise, you know? And so I do think that I have a high level of resilience because there's something greater than what's in front of us. And if there's not actually something greater, then I'm gonna like make it something greater. Like, there's gonna be something greater.
Coming out of this. Yeah.
Where? Are you reading anything right now? Do you have time?
Yes. So I read a lot of like funny stuff. My last favorite book was Trevor Noah's autobiography titled Born a Crime, and it's such a fantastic way to tell a story how a mixed child born in apartheid, like how it structured how he just sort of like moved in the world. And since he's a comic, he just makes it silly. Jennifer Lewis, hers was also like,
oh yeah.
And she narrated it also. And so if you ever just need the audiobook to hear Jennifer Lawrence narrate her own story, it's so good.
I did the audio for it too.
I had to because I'm like, I need to hear her.
It is the best, probably my favorite audiobook experience was her book, actually.
For sure,
one of good.
So one of my favorites, but you know, what was a surprise? Bobby Brown's autobiography.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
He read it himself also. And it was just, yeah, it was nice, you know, like hearing Bobby Brown talk about this shit. So, yeah.
I had one out.
Yeah, please. It was,
I didn't
it was
think
good.
I knew he had one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was good. Oh, it was good.
He has a crazy life.
And, mm-hmm. Girl, yeah.
And through so much. Yeah.
So what's turning you on today?
Ooh, I get to see Bae tonight. So I'm like dating someone more seriously right now, which is like really nice and different and like cool. And I'm discovering that dating someone who isn't trying to live in my house is great. Because I get a vacation.
Yes.
Go away. And every time, like, I'm just like, I'm about to get in my car and come to you. That's my turn on. I'm like, that's what makes me all hot. I'm on my way. I'm like, I'm on my way.
You don't have to make up the bed there. You just get it's like a little hotel stay. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I just walk in. Take just good. Hey, let's just watch TV. I don't care what we do. Let's just do something.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, so we're going to do a quick word association. I am going to tell you a word, and you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. So, joy.
Ooh, crab legs?
Yes! Ooh. When you crack it so and like hungry. It comes out with the,
all at the same time.
What is the whole thing?
When you ain't fuck it up.
Yes. Immense joy.
Yes, okay. Family.
Mom.
Freedom.
Ooh, just sex. Just
yes,
but,
yes, like,
yeah.
I love but it.
Not yeah, just
wild sex.
Yeah, just in it. Just, not thinking about nothing else.
Yes, I love it. Yeah. Okay, surprise.
Direct deposit.
Oh, yes.
That is
like
good.
All your answers. Yeah. I identify with them all.
Yeah.
And last, beauty.
Heart.
Okay. Yeah. That word association alone has me on the seat of my pants, on the edge of my seat. Excited about whatever it is you were going to be writing and producing, because I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good. It's
gonna be for me.
Deposits and crab legs.
Mm-hmm. Crab legs
and wild sex.
Money, wild sex. That is my aesthetic. So yes.
Yeah. And speaking of which, like, what's next for you? What are you working on? What can folks watch, follow, all of that?
Yeah. So my mom is like my main thing right now. However, I just recently got signed to a manager for TV writing, which I like is something I've been working on since I've moved here, trying to like reestablish. And so I'm really excited about that. And so, I'm just trying to sell these scripts. That's pretty much what we're doing right now, trying to sell these scripts. And I, have this one story that circles around a community of people who care for their loved ones. And so that has no crab legs yet, but I'm definitely going to put it in there. However, it has a lot of sex and heart. And
yes.
I'm excited for that.
That's what's up.
Great.
Where can folks find you so that they can keep up with everything that's going on and join the community?
Appreciate it. Mom of My Mom. So you can find us at Mom of My Mom on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and momofmymom.com.
TikTok.
Yeah. I'm not saying TikTok.
So, yes. Especially TikTok. We are all over that. And so Mom of My Mom. Mom of My Mom.
Yay. Y'all go follow. And Jacqueline, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
This is lovely.
Yeah, it was. Yay.
Thank you for making it happen. Yeah.
Thank you for saying yes. Right.
Of course.
That's real shit. So that's it for this week's episode. Thanks to everyone for joining us, and we'll see y'all next week. Bye. This episode was produced by us, Kenry and Erica, and edited by Ballistic. The theme music is from Brazy. Hit subscribe right now in your favorite podcast app and at youtube.com/theturnonpodcast so you'll never miss an episode.
Then follow us on Twitter at The Turn On Pod and Instagram at The Turn On Podcast. And you can find links to books, transcripts, guest info, what's turning us on, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com.
And don't forget to email us at theturnonpodcast@gmail.com with your book recommendations and your pressing sex and related questions.
And you can support the show by leaving us a 5-star review, buying some merch, or becoming a patron of the show. Just head to theturnonpodcast.com to make that happen.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Holla.